This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. The most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway. From karts to NASCAR. If it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
Hey, and happy race day. It is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And thank you to the great sponsors, including Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny Shots Raceway. It is here, halfway already done. It is the Snowball Derby, Five Flag Speedway's premier event and really the biggest short track race of the year. So much to cover. Joining me in the studio this morning, good morning. We don't usually have in studio guests, but I made him get up early. I think we both got, 4 hours of sleep. Matt Weaver with SBA Nation. Good morning, brother.
Hey, how's it going, brother?
Hey, good, man. This is Snowball Derby weekend, and when people, you know, it's amazing. You guys are doing some great coverage. I've been doing it on Facebook, Twitter, and everybody just can't get enough of this race. Why is that?
Well, this is the biggest race in short track racing, and I think people all across the country recognize that. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the coolest thing. To those of you who don't know, I work full-time in NASCAR. I travel mm-hmm. the circuit. And this is the time of the year where people in the NASCAR tour start to say, hey, you guys still doing that Snowball Derby deal? And is it getting bigger? Is it still growing? And this is something that NASCAR people even recognize is a huge deal for short track drivers all over the region.
One name, Chase Elliott.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Eric Jones.
Yes.
John Hunter
yes.
Nemechek, the defending winner.
Lots of news to talk about him and some other things. There's a lot to cover. And so we've only got an hour. And before we get it going, you know, I got to say congratulations to two of our people that's going to be on. Robert Loper did a great job in the Butler You Pull It Bombers and held off Matt and also BJ for the win and the championship. And then Sportsman Driver, second time for the championship for him, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And we've got him on the line, Brandon Fowler. Brandon, good morning from Pensacola.
Good morning, Kane.
Hey, man, congratulations. That trophy is almost taller than you. I mean, you've done it again. And you guys, unfortunately, I did not get to see the finish of the race, but you guys had one of the best races out there, side by side, like 10 laps. Tell us what happened. Tell us about your Derby experience this week.
Boy, I tell you what, it was amazing. First of all, it was... Excuse me, my dad's birthday, it was on December the 3rd, which was, you know, our race day.
Yeah.
So, actually, it started off to be a good day. And, man, it was amazing. We set outside pole. Mm-hmm. Steve, he broke our old track record and set a new track record. So, he sat on the pole, and we got going the first... I'd say 22, 23 laps went green. The car was, I mean, it was flawless. It stayed right there. It stayed right there. We was running 1-2, you know, with Buttrick the whole time. And then we had that caution. Had to line up, you know, double file restart back up on the outside. And once we went back green, I believe Connor mm-hmm. in the 14 was third, you know, second row inside at the time. We had to kind of battle him there for a few laps just to get back down yeah. to, you know, be able to chase Steve back down. And, man, once we was able to do that, I knew we had a good piece, Kane, mm-hmm. to really contend for this, you know, Snowball Derby win.
What when you're going to those final laps, because you guys were side by side, and then Buttrick and Matt, I'm sure you know, he was on three wheels. He lost a wheel, for 4 or 5 laps, and he... Any other driver would have probably came in, and it's the Snowball Derby. You probably would have stayed out there, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm sure what, you know, Steve was hoping for was to get a caution because, you know, if he had to pit under the green, then that would have, you know, took any kind of chance he would have had to, you know, make a good finish or possibly make a run back at the win or whatnot. So he was, you know, hoping for a caution like anybody else would. So, but I'm sure pretty much that was his plan right there. And like I said, by the last 8 or 10 laps, it was I think we was coming out of turn 2. Steve, he had crossed his car up a little bit, and I jumped up on the outside of him and was able to run side-by-side for a lap or two with him and, you know, kind of keep him held down there on the bottom. And I can't remember if it was coming out of turn 4 or turn 2 exactly. Lord, you know,
oh, yeah, when you're out there
the racing and all. We kind of got together a little bit. I crossed my car up just a little, was able to, you know, save it, get back on the throttle and continue on. And I think at that point is when Steve and Connor got together, and that might have been what happened to his left front and, you know, caused his tire to go down and whatnot. So,
yeah.
But all in all, brother, it was just a great night with my family and friends that was there. Dad's birthday, my son, he stayed up, was able to watch the whole thing. It was just an amazing night.
Hey, Brandon, Matt Weaver here. You hear the super late model guys and the pro late model guys talk about how big of a race this is for them, but it sometimes gets lost in the shuffle. This is your Snowball Derby, too. How much does this event mean to the local guys, the Bombers, the Sportsmen, the pro trucks, those dudes?
Matt, it means everything. This is, like you said, the Sunday race for all the super late model guys and even the pros that run later on the season. This Thursday night, Friday night, and like the trucks also run tonight. This is our premier event. It doesn't get any bigger than this. When you just say after our race Thursday and everything that went on was able to capture the victory, when you have people like Bubba Pollard and, mm-hmm. and just people from around the racetrack and all across the pits and out around the racetrack that's coming up congratulating you and acknowledging what you've done, that tells you right there that you've really done something special on a special weekend.
Well, I tell you, I want to say congratulations again. And one thing that we have to share with you, we've got our Cyclops Vapor Dirt Modified out there right at the main entrance, and you were nice enough to donate several trophies to us yesterday for our Canes Warrior Kids program, which we're visiting Sacred Heart Hospital December 22nd in Pensacola at noon, and we're driving up with a bunch of race cars, a bunch of rat rods, 850 Street Scene's going to be there, Bubba Blackwell's also going to be performing, and what's great about this is you gave us Snowball Derby trophies that you've won to give to these kids. And what we're going to do is we're giving a bunch of stuff away. And you said you wanted to do something special, too, with these trophies this weekend. So you can allow us, if you stop by that tent, to just pick up a free raffle ticket. You might have an opportunity to win one of your Snowball trophies. That is so cool.
Absolutely, brother. It means a lot, for us, for me, myself, my dad, our race team, to be able to be a part of things that like this that y'all do, you and Miss Michelle, it's a wonderful thing that y'all do for the kids over there and all around here, and we're fortunate enough and blessed enough to to be able to give back, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, man, we appreciate it, and I know you're going to be excited to be there and at the whole race weekend, so enjoy it. Happy birthday to Glenn, 64th birthday, and again, your son, I guess, was directing you in all those pictures. Happy days for the family. Congratulations, Brandon.
Hey, I appreciate it, Matt. It was good talking to you again, brother.
Thank you.
All right, there you go, Brandon Fowler. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Bomber Champion. That's going to be Robert Loper. Stand by. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, we'll podcast the show at usfdracing.org. And that's United States Fire Department Racing. And Matt and myself race with them. And they're out of Kannapolis, North Carolina, bringing money and funds and awareness to volunteer fire departments all around the country. Check us out every week at usfdracing.org. All right, man, I'm telling you, I'm excited to have Matt Weaver in the studio live, SB Nation. We watch him every weekend as he's around traveling NASCAR. And I told you off the air, Matt, I said, I knew you were in your element when I saw you yesterday. You're walking just after qualifying through the cars. And I said, hey, you're good for the show, right? And you looked and like three-year-old look in your eyes like at Christmas and you just open up that bike. Like, yeah, man, I'm there. It was so cool. So welcome back home.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I don't get a lot of time here on the Gulf Coast anymore. I've moved to North Carolina, the Kannapolis area,
yeah.
A beautiful part of the country, and this is the race I most look forward to. All my friends are here, not only in the super late model community, but used to work for Mobile International.
Yeah.
So I know all the guys running the bomber division, the sportsman division. Those guys are friends, and it's just good to hang out and see those guys be as happy as I am as well.
Yeah, and one guy that's super happy, I tell you, is Superman. You know, there was no kryptonite for Robert Loeber at the 48th Annual Snowball Derby, the Butler You Pull It Bomber. Let me say it right, Snowball Derby champion. Robert, man, congratulations, brother.
Thank you very much, Kane.
You know, we were just talking off the air. You have a lot of help. This is what an anniversary, the day after the Derby. First, before we talk about your whole experience, what was your anniversary? What happened the day after the Derby last year?
The day after the Derby last year, we officially started building my race car to be able to run the season and to run the Derby this year.
And obviously, with the Langhams helping out, we were talking, that was the first championship, or not championship, I should say, but the first Snowball Derby championship that group, Langham Motorsports, has been able to pick up.
Yeah, that's right. It was a very emotional win for us, that's for sure.
You did a good burnout. I thought you were going to hit the wall, but you've been practicing, haven't you?
Oh, you know, we got our own little things we do at home. It got stuck in two gears. After the finish, I hit a puddle of oil back there on the back track, going in the two or whatever,
yeah,
and hit the wall.
Ooh.
After the checker flag there, and
that's the only time you want to hit the wall, brother.
Well, Robert, when I was going for a pass during the middle of the race, I hit the wall on the front straightaway.
I think I saw you bounce off. I had about five laps. We lost part of our transmission, but man, I'm telling you, that was probably one of the most intense but fun races. Tell us about what you experienced in the wheel and what your thoughts were through the cautions and just the whole race experience, because it's the longest race of the year for the bomber class. There are all sorts of levels of bomber drivers, from the very beginning to seasoned professionals to folks that are, you know, in their first year and mid-year. So you tell me what it was like in the driver's seat and that whole experience as a driver for a fan that might be just listening for the first time.
Oh, man, it was awesome feeling. You know, of course, we was nervous and didn't know what to think, and we had to pit a lot of times during practice to try to get my car to handle a little bit better, because I didn't like the way it practiced too well. Qualifying fifth was a little nerve-wracking in the middle of the pack back there. And, you know, it was just an all-in-all great experience. I love racing with all the people that we run with. Every week to week, and you know, we have a lot of respect out there.
Yeah, and that's nice, and we've all done that, and I think when people start using their own money and all that stuff a little bit more, I think we run each other hard, but we're not gonna be leaning into you too hard, because afterwards we're eating and having coffee with each other, you know what I'm saying?
Hey,
oh yeah, that's where Waffle House comes in.
That's right.
Hey, Robert, Matt Weaver here. I haven't gotten the chance to watch the local divisions as much as I used to in years past, but I noticed this weekend with you running the race, you had the Superman celebration. What was the genesis of that, and what made you decide to celebrate in that way and form?
Well, the whole Superman thing come out. We was at Walmart one night. My son's in Superman shirt. He said, "Daddy, I like that. I want to put that on the race car." And we did it, and once we ended up winning the second race of the season, it just blowed up to real big to where that's our theme now.
I'd say it fits.
Oh, yeah.
You drove like Superman this year.
A lot of kids like it, and that just gets more kids involved, and hopefully we have some more racers raising up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Now, as there's uncertainty at Mobile International Speedway for the racing season, you still plan on running the Bombers anywhere they run, pretty much, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, now
we're gonna go one more season, try to run for a championship.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about sponsors that helped you out this year, Robert?
Oh, I had plenty of them. Thank Jesus. I had my mama's angel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Specialty Transmission, Langham Motorsports, Danny Bear Photography, 90 Marketing and Design, M&D Motorsports, Island Motors, Ronnie's Muffler, and a whole lot of friends behind me.
You know, do you remember, I'm sure you do, but Gino Denmark, there were lots of lapped vehicles in that race, and Denmark's night was pretty decent, started off, but that was a brand new car for Gino, and Gino got involved in an accident out of turn four with lap traffic that pretty much almost looked like you put him almost head on into the wall. And that car's hurt. And that was a brand new car, very fast car from the 888 Motorsports team. Did you see, you know, the worst part for being when you're racing is when you're got that adrenaline rush and you're, you know, you got the green going, the caution comes out, and then you see, and it's one of your buddies or one of your friends over there, and it looks like a bad wreck. What's your thought process when you see a bad wreck and when you're racing something like the Derby? Because it seems like it always happens more at the Derby than anywhere else.
You know, you just want to think for the family and stuff. And me personally, I say a prayer every time I go. We hit a caution, just for me and everybody around me. You know, we all want to go home in one piece and hopefully live the race another day.
Yeah, yeah. Now the championship again, trophy. Where is it at now? Is it your house?
Yes, it is. It's on my dresser actually.
You're going to have to build a bigger dresser, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Well, man, we appreciate you being a big part of it. Again, congratulations. And, again, is there anyone else you want to thank before we head on?
My family and everything. And just to let anybody know that my car is open for sponsors next year. We're hoping to be able to run a full season at both tracks. And we have a stinger that we're going to run a full season with next year at Sunny South.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun, which you've always done real well in that. Any other questions, Matt?
No, that's all I got.
There you go. Well, again, Robert, thank you so much for being a part of it, and congratulations, champ.
Thank you all. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And you know, right there, that just goes to show, Matt, it is everybody's snowball derby.
Well, what's cool to me is you asked him there at the end, what does he do with the trophy? And I think sometimes running the bigger tracks and running with super late model guys, I forget how important these races and these championships are. And to hear him talk with so much pride and keeping the trophy on the dresser, this means everything to him, and it's a great opportunity to reach out to new sponsors, new partners, and there's a lot of pride and hard work, and you know that goes into these cars, and it's just rewarding for me coming from a short track family. My dad used to run dirt bombers for years. I know the heart that goes into it, and it's just a good reminder that these guys work just as hard as the guys that you watch on Sunday in the NASCAR series.
Dave Mader III, he has a brand new ride. It's the Faith Chapel Superstocks. He starts off brand new. You know, the Superstocks, this class has kind of gone back and forth. It's really struggled this year. But now, obviously, the Derby, there's enough of them there. They had to park them outside, which is, you know, it is what it is when you're there. But brand new body style, brand new motor. And Dave Mader, who is a four-time NASCAR champion, takes and does something that I don't think many other people do until Mr. Hamrick does it, but three derbies from three different classes. And he did it last night, I believe, in that class. So tell me about Dave Mader and what he can do in a car.
Well, the thing about Dave Mader is, you know, for one, that's a little before my time. You're dating me a little bit.
Well, I'm old.
but there's a legacy there. And, yes. And whether you are super familiar with Dave Mader or even a little familiar, you know who he is because there's a legacy, there's a history. And when you talk about Dave, you're talking about championships and you're talking about race victories and you're talking about the Snowball Derby. And there's a big time legacy that he has left on the sport over the past, you know, couple of decades.
In 1978, he was a Snowball Derby winner, and he's 60 years old now. Now he's having just a blast. You know, he had the super late model, decided to get rid of it, didn't like the way it was set up. I think he ran it once or twice at Gresham, and which is too bad that track's not around anymore. That's another show entirely. But you know, it seems like that class, decent, but there was when we moved to the open wheel modifieds, there's a guy who's going to be running. His name's Augie Grill. And, you know, Augie was playing, but I guess with just a few laps to go, something happened. I saw him turned on the wrong side of 3 and 4, and I didn't see what happened. Can you give us a little details on what happened there in that situation with the mods?
I had actually stepped out at that
point.
Did you? I had to write my post-race story, so I had missed the modified race. First time at the Snowball Derby that I had missed the Snowball Derby modified race, and it's always a great show, so I hate that I missed that one.
Well, I tell you, it was also a very scary accident. One of the drivers, his throttle stuck after he hit the wall. He came down on Donald Crocker, and Donald talked to his team. He had to get on the brakes, tap it just a little bit, and unfortunately sent him in there. And Speed51.com is doing some coverage with it, like a television-style broadcast. And the video footage, if you see it, you can find it on my Facebook under Derek, D-E-R-E-K, Long, L-O-N-G. That the throttle stuck, and he was just sitting there, and I showed you the video a few minutes ago, and you could see the exhaust pop 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 pop, and I talked to people, and people thought it was a military helicopter flying over when that was going on, and then it burst into flames.
And that's something you never like to see in racing, obviously. That's the one thing that you talk to drivers, and pretty much universally, that's their biggest fear, is being in a situation where they're either unconscious or they can't break free of the seatbelt system. And everyone was holding their breath with that deal. And thankfully, it turned out okay, but there was a second there that you just don't know, and everyone's collectively holding their breath, crossing their fingers.
He wasn't moving in the car, and the flames were very intense until the emergency vehicles got there. That brings up something that I think is important to bring up at the Derby and just racing in general. Your thoughts on safety, even on the local divisions, the Bombers, the Sportsmen. That just goes to show, that's a local class. That's not a super late model. That's not a NASCAR. These cars are built, but some of those cars aren't built like those cars. So when you see that and you see fire, what does that remind you? No tennis shoes. You know what I'm saying? Wear your gloves. Ask Dave Mader.
The struggle I feel like all local divisions run into with safety is safety costs money. You don't want the guys out there running completely unprotected too, but I think sometimes you have to take a step back and be careful how much you can put on the local guys. Otherwise, you're going to price them out of the competition too. And in an era where local tracks are dying left and right, and we're lucky enough to have track owners like Miss Ida and Mr. Tim who invest a lot of their own personal money into keeping these tracks going. And you want to keep these guys safe, but you got to be really careful that you don't price them out with certain innovations too. So it's kind of a fine line to walk.
Yeah, you're right. And that's the thing, because I know the neck restraint system I use is called Next Gen. It's a little bit lighter than and not as bulky as what one of the Hans is, but it's $600. And that's the cheaper versions, you know? So, well, Matt, how do we follow you on Facebook and Twitter when you're at the track? Because I know you're everywhere like I am as well.
Well, the best way is on Twitter. I'm Matt Weaver, SBN. On Twitter, I've also created recently a Facebook fan page, and that can be found at facebook.com, Matt Weaver Motorsports. All of my stories, all of my updates, a ton of pictures. I work in NASCAR, IndyCar, try to do as many late model races as I can, so it's a very diverse group of stories you'll find on those pages.
I think you're going to love it. Now, coming up, we're going to talk about today's snowflake and tomorrow's derby. So, again, you can find us on Facebook and stop by the Cyclops tent right there at the main gate. You can see the open wheel modified that we've got. We're going to run next year. And also, we have an opportunity. Just come by, get some free raffle tickets, give away some lot of cool goodies. We'll tell you about it shortly again. Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Always brought to you by great sponsors like Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, and Sunny Sounds Raceway. Again, thank you to the Kane Motorsports crew. After, unfortunately, a tech incident, we moved up from third to second. Not the way you want to do it, but a great run for Matt Jackson, his final race in the Bomber. We've already sold the Bomber. He'll have a pro truck for next year, and excited about that. Thank you to McDonald's, also Cyclops Vapor, Pull Apart, Coastal Traffic, Cross Creek Realty, Ratty Rods of the South, ABC Designs, and BA Motorsports with Cast Industries and JC Rivets are a big part of what we do in Metro Glass and Mobile. Joined in the studio, this is the special Snowball Derby edition, and gosh, 48 years of it. And we've got Matt Weaver. Who's Matt Bryan? Matt Weaver with us. And let me tell you something. I was talking last night with veteran track announcer Dave Pavlock, and he's been to 44 of the 48 of these races. How about that?
You know, I was talking to a couple of friends of mine over the weekend, last weekend, and I said, talking about Dave, I hope to have the sort of tenure that a guy like Dave Pavlock has, because that's a guy who can tell a lot of stories. In many ways, he's kind of become the unofficial track historian of the Snowball Derby. And as a storyteller, that's the type of thing that I strive to be as a journalist, as a writer. And certainly Dave can tell a lot of good stories about derbies of years past.
Well, and that's the thing, and he's not hard to find. He's in bright white, and he does this at every race, even at the local races. He's so proud of those winners. He grabs that trophy, even if it's bigger than he is, and holds that straight up. And I know, as a driver, I've talked to more drivers. Yeah, they see that checkered flag, but they immediately turn to the left and look for Pavlock with their trophy in the white. And that's just a cool, again, thing that he does as kind of the experience of the Derby.
You know, the race that I keep comparing the Snowball Derby to that people would know on a larger scale, and you're familiar with this, the Indianapolis 500. You look at qualifying, having the bumping, the large field, good guys going home. You got the great race, steep in tradition. That's the Snowball Derby. It's just like the Indy 500, just like the Daytona 500. It is the short track equivalent of those marquee races.
and it brings in people from Canada, from Maine. There was a sportsman driver that drove 1,106 miles just to perform 50 laps on Thursday night.
California drivers Derek Thorne, the 2013 NASCAR Can-Am West champion, drove all the way from California to come run this race.
And that's special. Now, today, give us a little details, because there's been a lot of news that you need to catch up with. Who we thought had a new track championship track record, I should say, didn't quite do it in Tech, and it was kind of confusing for some of the fans, and Nemechek's in trouble, too. What do you say, Matt?
Yeah, two of the contenders for the Snowball Derby, the super late model main event, found themselves in a bit of hot water in the technical inspection room on Friday night after qualifying. Head tech inspector Ricky Brooks disqualified both defending race winner John Hunter Nemechek and the guy who looked like he had won the pole, Christopher Bell, who drives for Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Right.
So as a result, they both had the same problem. They went well beyond the allowed 7 inches from the center of your tire to your quarter panel. That's a no-no. And so Ricky Brooks had to disqualify both of them. As the defending winner, John Hunter Nemechek is guaranteed a spot. So he elected to use that provisional. He is going to start 37th from first place last year to starting 37th till end on Sunday. Meanwhile, Christopher Bell, the guy that many people thought was the man to beat all week.
Tell the Bubba Pollard story.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have to go to the last chance race. But I was talking to Bubba Pollard. I took a picture of him on the qualifying grid right before time trials on Friday. I took a picture of Bubba. And Bubba, who always gives me a hard time, said, "You're talking to the wrong guy." And I said, "Bubba, I'm looking for the man to beat. That's you, right?" And he goes, no, that's Christopher Bell." Wow. And he called it, because Christopher Bell set fast time, a new track record, until he got to the Room of Doom.
What exactly does that do? Because we were talking off the air. Usually you want less air going through there. So what's the big deal? And what's the big obviously, it's enough to where it threw out two of your top competitors, and they were trying to do a little something-something.
Yeah, that's an interesting deal, because I was talking to Jack McNally, who runs the Cars Tour in the Carolinas, and me and him had a similar mindset that on paper you would think you would want less air getting inside your wheel well, say that three times fast, because that's extra downforce that's being taken off the car. But I wonder if that's something that you can do to cool down your brakes, maybe keep your brakes lasting longer. And maybe that's the situation, but I'm not the most technical savvy guy in the garage. That's why I'm a writer and not a mechanic. But obviously, if Ricky Brooks says that's a technical advantage and a no-no, I trust his discretion.
Let's talk for just a second about Ricky Brooks and the Room of Doom. He has T-shirts that says, "You survived the Room of Doom." You've got NASCAR people that are more terrified than him, going to him, than the NASCAR officials. What is it about Ricky Brooks that makes him so special, and the reason why these traveling series and the local guys here use him so much?
He is absolutely fair. That's the one thing I would say more than anything else about Ricky Brooks. He's stern, and he's tough, and he's not afraid to throw out big names. Remember, in 2007, after qualifying, he threw out both Kyle Busch and Stephen Wallace after qualifying, in the same way that we're facing a certain situation with Bell and Nemechek tonight. And he makes it very clear from the beginning of the race week, throughout the year, if you run any of his races in the Southern Super Series here locally, the All-American 400, you know what to expect from Ricky Brooks. But keep in mind, these are race teams, too. They're pushing every single gray area. They're trying to find the little things. But you never see a team, you never see a driver say, "That was BS. He threw me out. He shouldn't have."
No, they accept it. They go, "Oh, well, okay, you got us."
They just know he got me. And that's the thing that I think speaks volumes about Ricky Brooks, is that the drivers know that when they get caught, that's just it.
One of the largest group of cars that we've seen, I think, in years, and we say that's every year, but at the Snowball Derby and tonight, the Snowflake. The last chance race, big names are going to be in this huge race. And this is the stands will be packed. If you haven't got tickets yet, do it now. You can't get them anywhere except at the track. Parking's a nightmare, but it's like a NASCAR experience when you go. This is going to be a huge race. How many people are going to be in this race? 30-some-odd cars. How many people are going up to the next race? Four?
Four
Wreck
from the Last
Fest.
Chance Race.
I'm calling it now.
You know, the cool thing about the Last Chance Race is you look at the starting lineup, and this is as good as any super late model field in the country.
Exactly.
And these were the guys who were not fast enough to qualify in the top 30. Wow. Now, you look at the qualifying times, and the entire field was within 0.8 of a second of each other.
Oh,
that's
man.
How close you have to be. So it's not like these guys were bad.
No.
It's just they were a little off. We're talking about Todd Gilliland, mm-hmm. who won the K&N Pro Series West race at Phoenix 2 weeks ago, has won late model races all over the country. He's trying to race his way in. We talked about Christopher Bell, looked like he won the pole. He's the guy that everyone said all week is the man to beat. Now he's going to have to go from the back to fourth in 50 laps.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. Garrett Jones, the car that Mike Garvey usually mm-hmm. drives, the one car.
Yellow.
Mike's the crew chief. He's having to race his way in, too. A lot of big-time names. Brian Campbell, a Midwestern superstar, he's going to have to race his way in, too. So, again, this is as good of a field as you'll see throughout the year in the Blizzard Series, in the Miller Lite Series. And these are the guys who are trying to race their way in now to the Snowball Derby.
And then we talk about the Snowflake, and they've got practice going on now. We just saw that actually Connor Okresic, who ran the Sportsman, he just went out on his Pro Late model, and he just puked the engine. So, unfortunately, he probably is done for the day as well. But we're going to talk. We've got to take another break here for just a second. But, again, I want to let you know, or let everybody know, Matt, again, where we can follow you throughout the whole entire weekend, because you do such a great job. You're right in the middle of the mix of everything. And if you cannot come to the Derby, we got people that listen all over the country, and I know we've got Tracy Soul, who's a bomber driver. He is in Japan right now, and he's listening and he's watching, and he's a big fan. He's in the military, so God bless him for what he's doing. He's supporting us over there, and he's still watching our Derby.
Yeah, Tracy's a good bud of mine as well. And as for my outlets, I just want to give a quick thank you to Auto Week Magazine, mm-hmm. who lets me write for them, PopularSpeed.com. My short track website is race22.com. So if you're a fan of the local racing, if you're a fan of super late model racing, I've got you covered there. So find me on Twitter at MattWeaverSBN. You get all the updates.
All right, Ken, we're going to talk about a little bit more about the Snowflake coming up, and then we've got to get it set up because it is tomorrow. The green flag drops at 2:30. It's what it's all about, Snowball Derby. Hang on. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And again, I'm joined in the studio with Matt Weaver with the SB Nation. And Matt, we were just talking to someone we have not seen, the little guy, Eric. Say his name.
Rico Abreu.
Rico Abreu. He was supposed to be here. He won the Chili Cook-Off. Chili Race in Oklahoma. Help me out here. Spit it out.
Need more Chili
coffee.
Bowl.
That's it. And he was supposed to race, but he's not here. Tell the story.
Yeah, Rico Abreu is the defending Chili Bowl Nationals midget car race champion mm-hmm. out there in Tulsa. And there was a lot of fanfare. And
oh,
this
yeah.
is a guy who ran the full NASCAR K&N series this year. Ran the truck series there at the end of the year at Phoenix. And he was going to make his Snowball Derby debut driving for David Gilliland Racing. Mm-hmm. And with a couple of weeks to go up until the race, he told David and Todd and Michelle and everyone at the Gilliland clan that I can't make the race. I've got to focus on the truck series. And as a result, Todd Gilliland, the 15-year-old son mm-hmm. of NASCAR driver David Gilliland, is in the car. He's going to have to race his way in, but this guy is mega talented. Won the K&N race at Phoenix, youngest winner in ARCA, and he's a really talented youngster you're going to hear about for a long time.
And major news for one of the local guys, I was looking through the pits, and this was on Facebook yesterday. Grant Enfinger, major news, he's not here. Full-time truck ride? Oh, my gosh. Well-deserved. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I gave Grant a call a couple of days ago when I was starting to put together my Snowball Derby preview section. And I called Grant and I said, you know, let's talk about your Derby deal. And he's like, I would love to, Matt, but I can't because I've got to finalize my plans for next year. And I'm really close and I don't want to go out of town now and do anything to jeopardize that. And as it turns out, Grant, who won the ARCA championship this year for GMS Racing, he's going to move up full-time next year. He's going to stay with GMS but run the Camping World Truck Series. And this is just a mega story for a local guy.
Tell the story, what you just told me off the air, about how he was not hired as a driver, but what his technically is, and just how he got that ARCA car and what he's been able to do to win that championship.
Yeah, I don't think people realize what Grant did to make that ARCA deal work. He entered the season going to the ARCA race at Daytona, and he was technically a mechanic on Spencer Gallagher's NASCAR truck. That was his actual role with the team. He was just another engineer. Now, because of his driving background, he was able to get the team to invest in a couple of ARCA chassis. Jeff Stankiewicz was technically the crew chief for Grant in the ARCA Racing Series, but this car was Grant's baby. As soon as he got done working on Spencer Gallagher's truck and he punched out of the clock and technically was supposed to go home, nope, he stayed in the shop to work on his own car. Yeah. And that sort of dedication won him 6 races this year in ARCA, won him the championship, got him some sponsors, and it's just a good story. You hear fans say all the time, you know, talented guys with passion can't make it. You need money. Yeah. And let me tell you something. Grant Enfinger is living proof that you can work your butt off and still make it to NASCAR national touring, the highest level of sport.
Well, and again, it's just we're going to miss him, but we get why. So let's do it. We're ready to go. Tomorrow morning, one of the exciting things, you get there in the morning. If you're there early enough, people sit on the track for the church service. That's part of it. It's exciting. And then you walk through the pits, and there's just this quiet, eerie. It's like the beginning of a NASCAR race because, you know, you feel the electricity. My hair grows just talking about it. And then they line up all the cars, and then they start the engines. And then people start coming. And you, I mean, it's just, it's the most amazing experience. This is a race fan's dream tomorrow.
You know, I'm lucky enough that I get to go to Daytona every year. I get to go to Indianapolis for the 500. I've covered Formula One races. Mm-hmm. But nothing is as special to me as Derby Sunday morning. I got tears welling up in my eyes.
I know.
I say
that's
this.
It. I get chills. And people, you just don't get it if you've never been.
It's so sappy. But I got tears in my eyes when I talk about, I stand on top of the grandstands in turns 1 and 2, the best view in all of racing if you've never sat there at Five Flags.
Yep.
And I just look at the track as the haulers leave, and you've got that empty field and that empty track, and it dawns on you, the Snowball Derby is here. It's the greatest feeling in the world because you know if you're there and if you're lucky enough to have a ticket, and if you're watching on speed51.com, you're going to see the best short track race in the country, and that's special.
Chase Elliott will start, I believe, in row 2 now.
Is row 1.
Row 1.
Outside
row 1. And here's, we've talked to him before, and his quote was, you know, is this going to be your last Derby? And again, he said, well, we hope so. I don't want to come back. And he said, well, why is that? Well, that's Las Vegas weekend, baby, and there's a real good chance, Chase Elliott fans, it's going to be one of the last times you see him at the Derby.
Well, it's funny. Chase gave me a different answer last night.
Oh, I love it!
I talked to him for a story, and you're going to see that story on Race 22 here in a couple of hours once we clock out here.
Good.
Chase said, I don't want this to be the end. I know that's awesome. Kind of the narrative, but he says, schedules change, things change, and while it looks like for the time being this is probably it for me in a super late model, I'm driving the 24 car next year, things could change in NASCAR. NASCAR is always tweaking things, and he says, if the opportunity is there for me to run this race, if anything opens up, I will be here because this race is so important to me, and he gave all the reasons why this is the race that made him into the driver that eventually went into the 24.
300 laps. Long race, starts at 2:30. What do these guys have to do? We've got about 5 minutes left in the show. So let's talk about tires. Let's talk about pit crews because these are NASCAR-style pit stops. NASCAR teams come to field some of these cars.
Yeah, this is an expensive race. And
yeah,
it's funny to me because this race pays $20,000 to win. There's also contingency, so you can make up to about $25,000. To win this race, but teams, this is going to make people roll their eyes.
Yeah.
But these guys spend $25,000, $30,000 to go out and win $25,000, and only one guy is going to make it. But when you ask these teams, well, why do you do it? This is not a financially sound investment. And it's because they want to win the Snowball Derby. They want to win that Tom Dawson Trophy. And this is the legacy established by the Allisons. This is the legacy established by Mader. And we're talking about Eddie Mercer and Kyle Busch and Steve Lawson, now Eric Jones and Chase Elliott. You want to have your name added to that list of Snowball Derby winners. And if you've got the resources, if you've got the connections, be able to call in your pit stop buddies to come in and help you out, you're going to pull every single resource you have and bring it down to Pensacola this weekend because there are many guys who have won races at the highest level. We're talking the Chase Elliotts, the Kyle Busches, who've said, my Tom Dawson trophy is actually sitting in the center of my trophy case because it's just as cool as me to me as the win at Martinsville or Darlington or what have you. This race, it's not a NASCAR race, but let me tell you something. It's just as cool and maybe even cooler to certain people with short track backgrounds than a NASCAR race.
Well, you get the top five snowflake practice time so far this morning. Spencer Davis at a 16.743. John Hunter Nemechek at a 16.799. Cole Anderson, Scott Hansen, Derek Thorne from California at a 16.867. What kind of speeds are they reaching around that track?
You know, I don't know.
Fast.
dumb speed is what they're reaching.
Yeah, that's good. What can you tell fans in about a minute and a half that have never experienced this when you walk into this, again, to the Snowball Derby? They've got tents out there. They've got the vibe. What can you tell a lot of people? We get new fans that listen to the show now that we've moved it from 10 to 11. So these are new race fans. How can we tell them just what it's all about? I think we've done a good job painting the picture, but put the icing on the cake.
You know, I think there's a certain contingency of your readership or your listeners who are short track people. They know what it's about. Yeah. But I think certain people are NASCAR-only fans. They watch races on Sunday at TV. And like I said, this isn't a NASCAR race.
Right.
But you get the experience of a NASCAR race locally. You have all the stars. You walk through the gates. You have the vendors. You've got one of the best concession stands in all of short track racing. And you know how well-traveled I am.
Yes, it's true.
Really good food at Five Flags Speedway. But here's the best part to me, and this is the reason why you should come to the Snowball Derby. You've got Chase Elliott sitting on the pit road wall, hanging out. You can walk up to him, ask for his autograph, take a selfie with the 2014 NASCAR Xfinity Series champion, driver of the 24 car.
Come on! Come on!
You know, Matt Kenseth usually comes down to watch Ross. That's not going to happen this week. But you've got a lot of NASCAR people who are here because they're scouting talent.
That's true.
And best of all, you get the best short track race in the country, action-wise. That's why you should come to the Snowball Derby.
Again, how do we follow you? Really quick, you can follow me. I'm the pit announcer at FTR Kane, FTRKANE, on Facebook. I'm going to say on Twitter. And then on Facebook also, just under Derek, DereklOng. And as soon as I can and when I can, I try to get posts of pictures when we're right up there so everyone can do that. And I started that just for mom and dad, and now we've got 5,000 followers. So thanks. And now, how do we follow you?
You know, on Facebook, just look up my name, Matt Weaver, and that's probably the best way to find me. I'll direct you to the stories from there. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, at Matt Weaver SBN. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting things tonight and tomorrow. I'm going to be listening to the radio chatter, the background stories, behind-the-scenes stuff, pictures, audio, stories. I'm going to try to give you guys everything I've got.
Well, I tell you, it's going to be a great race weekend, Matt. It's been awesome to have you here in the studio, and we got to do it again. And thank you so much again to all the sponsors, a big part of what we're doing. Mobile International Speedway, just keep an eye out for them again. They're hopefully going to get them going again. We're getting our fingers crossed. And then also Five Flag Speedway and Mobile International Speedway, huge parts of what we do here. Thank you so much, and love you, Mom.